Hi, good morning. I'm not sure whether you're going to see my face today or we'll just continue with the screen. Doesn't matter. Just moving forward. My name's Rebecca and I'm from Marwan House Church. I think you're going to see me on your screen very soon. But in the meantime, I'm just going to open us up in prayer. Yeah, Father, I thank you so much for this new day. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And we join with the psalmist today in saying, God, we sing of your great power. We sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. You have been my defense, my refuge in my day of trouble. To you, O my strength, I'll sing praises. God, you are my defense and my God of mercy. You know what? I think I'm supposed to start my video myself. There we go. I'm so sorry, guys. For some reason, I thought it would just show up. Okay. Can you see me? I guess I won't get feedback from you all. Doesn't matter. All right. Yeah, Father, we thank you that with technical difficulties and all, God, you're with us, and we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to be with us as we read your word, as we come to pray together, and we honor you, God. We honor your presence here in our midst. We welcome you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. All right. So this morning we are reading from John chapter 18, verses 1 to 24, and then later on 2 John. So I'm going to start with the book of John first, chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I've told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." That the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my father has given me?" Then the detachment of troops and the captain, the officers of the Jews, arrested Jesus and bound him. They led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You're not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I'm not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So that's our reading from John. And I'm going to go to the passage in 2 John. 2 John is a really short book, but we only have two verses. This is chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Amen. Okay, so there's our reading. And it's a really rich and... there's so much that can be said from chapter 18. But for me, as I was reading the passage, I ended up going back and looking through a lot of the same account in the Synoptic Gospels. So John, just the way he records the story is a little bit different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's really fun, actually, to read the Bible that way, where you just take this passage and then you find the other places where they're telling the same story and you get different details. So I will actually refer to the other Gospels as well in what I'm sharing. And so I'm just going to go back, actually, to the first two verses, because that's where most of what I'm sharing comes from. So Jesus, he has just been sharing this last meal with his disciples in Jerusalem. So he's been celebrating the Passover. And now he's leaving the city, and it says he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. So the brook Kidron runs through a valley called the Kidron Valley. And yeah, I've spent time living in Jerusalem, and it's a really scenic vista. So when you leave the city, which is now just the old city, you leave through the Eastern Gate, also called the Golden Gate, and then you face this quite a large mountain, now quite well known as the Mount of Olives. But I think back then it was just this mountain full of olive groves. And the Garden of Gethsemane was probably just somebody's patch of olives. But Gethsemane in Hebrew literally means the oil press. So Gat is the place of pressing, and Shemanim is the oils. So still today, if you go to the Middle East, you can see people harvesting olives, I guess the old-fashioned way, because you can't really use machines. You have to do it by hand. But often, once the olives are ripe, you could just beat the tree with a stick, and then they'll fall to the ground, the fruit will get washed, and then you'll crush it slightly to remove the pits. And then back then, I'm sure they have machinery today, but back then they would place the pulp into these woven baskets, and it would get pressed, often between these really, really heavy millstones that are moved around, often by an animal. And then the oil will run out into a collecting vat and get collected. And the picture of the olive tree and olive oil itself is referenced all throughout the Bible. It's a very familiar picture of actually of so many things. It just played a very critical role in the ancient world that the Bible was set in. It was their primary source of food. It was fuel for light. They cooked with it. They made soap with it. It was used medicinally, and also what we're quite familiar with for religious ceremonies. So kings were anointed with oil. You see this for Samuel anointing Saul, David, later on Solomon. Elisha did it with this general that he anointed king later. So you see, you see olive oil all over scripture. And Messiah, Mashiach in Hebrew actually just means the anointed one, the one who is anointed with oil. So Jesus, the anointed one, is now in Gethsemane here in chapter 18, which is the olive press. And it's this really, for me, a really vivid picture of the passion of Christ and the suffering that he now faced, this like moment of decision, and I guess really temptation that he's facing, because this is the purpose for which he was sent to earth. And then now you have the weight of the mission to save the world, to atone for our sins. It's heavy, and it's like pressing down on him, just like the millstone would press down on the basket of olives. And in Luke's account, it says that he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed to. So I think this was not a place that, you know, first time, oh, nice mountain, let's go there and pray there. I think it was a place that he went with often with his disciples. And it says so actually in John, in the passage here, Jesus often met there with his disciples. So I think this garden represented to Jesus and his followers this place of intimacy, a place of retreat and rest, because it's really hot, that part of the world. So I think you just want to be in the shade of trees often. And it was a place where he met with the Father, a place where now he's asking very, very honestly if it's possible that there can be a plan B. Can this hour pass from him? And in Mark, you hear him pray this out. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. I think it's difficult for us to really picture how it was for him. He was weary, he was troubled, he was deeply distressed. He said to his disciples, "My soul is sorrowful even to death." And I think, you know, it doesn't reference this specifically in scripture, but you see in Luke when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after fasting for 40 days, it says the enemy left him until an opportune time. And I think that this was probably one such opportune time. There may have been other situations where Jesus was again tempted by the enemy to do this another way that wouldn't require suffering and death and being separated from the Father. But in the end, you know, even though there was such agony that it says his sweat became like great drops of blood, but in the end, our Savior, our hero, he pushes through. He says yes to the Father. He says, "Not my will, but yours be done." And I think because of that, I really see Gethsemane as like the place of Christ's victory. Of course, like the fullness of the victory is really like you have to go through the cross first, and it's the resurrection and his ascension, right? That is like the final victory. But I feel like the pre-victory, perhaps, that like determined like the course that led to the cross and the resurrection was really, it was in the garden. It was in Gethsemane when he said yes. And this is where like he was crushed, where the oil was pressed, it was released. And his victory is like that oil that now covers us and it heals us, it anoints us. And I think it's especially pertinent because where you see Christ's victory, you also see humanity's failure, right? It's like we need that oil because we have failed, we've missed the mark, and we have succumbed to temptation. And you see this with his disciples, even the closest three, Peter, James, John. They were the ones who really understood Jesus and his heart. And so I think they knew that he was distressed, but it says that they were so tired, they just couldn't stay awake and pray. And like this was Jesus' hour of greatest need, but he comes back to them and he said, "Could you not stay awake 1 hour and pray with me? You must watch and pray lest you fall into temptation." Like Jesus knew that he needed to pray. He needed to hear from the Father to be able to have the strength to push through. And he knew his disciples needed it too, because it says in scripture, when the shepherd is struck, the sheep will scatter. And he knew, it's like, you need to pray, guys, or you're going to all fall. And And they failed. They failed epically. They didn't stay awake with him. They didn't pray. Their spirit was weak. And they all ran away in the garden. They left their master, the one they loved. And even Peter denied him, you read later on. And I really see this as almost like a... It's like Garden of Eden all over again, right? Here you have another garden where, again, it's a place of intimacy where Adam and Eve walked with God. And it was a place of decision. They were given two choices, right? There's the tree of life. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it's like, you're going to go the route of self-determination and my way, or you're going to go the way of God's way and laying down self, laying down my rights to determine. That's ultimately life, right? The life that God offers us. But we see that, yeah, as humans, right, we fail. We failed in Eden. We failed in Gethsemane. And I think that's why it's all the more, like, just so precious and amazing and hopeful that in our places of failure and inadequacy and succumbing to temptation, that we know that Christ has the victory, that because of his obedience and his faithfulness and his righteousness, that our inadequacies are covered up, and Eden's gonna be restored one day. We see this in Revelation, this like beautiful picture at the very, very end of Revelation 22 that speaks of, it's like another garden again, because you have this pure river of water of life, and then you have the tree of life, and you know, describes the leaves being for the healing of the nations. And we have access again to the tree of life, not because we were able to choose it ourselves, right? In our folly, we're always going to choose that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But because of Christ and his finished work on the cross that began at that place of saying yes to the Father in Gethsemane, we can eat of the tree of life. So, yeah, I pray that this, that this gives you consolation and hope and really joy this morning, that in our place of weakness, in our place of failure, in our place of not being able to make the right choice, choosing the wrong tree, falling asleep when we should wake up to pray, we fail, and we will continue to fail, but because of Jesus, yeah, it's okay. It's really okay that we can come to him, we can turn, we can repent, and we can receive his forgiveness, and we can be clothed again with his righteousness, with his faithfulness, and be anointed by him, be filled with his Holy Spirit, and just empowered to, like, let's go again. So I'm going to, end here, and I think... yeah, we can start the worship now, and then I'll pray from the prayer in the one app afterwards. Sterling, you can go ahead.
Thank you, Lord, and I leave my voice to worship you, O I see in yours to join. I love you, Lord.
Thank you, Sterling. So the intercessory prayer today from the One app is for asylum seekers and refugees. And surprisingly, there are actually many here in Hong Kong. So let's carry God's heart for them as we pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for asylum seekers and refugees in our society. Help us, Lord, to attach value to their lives. Help them to find a future where they can live without fear of harm or persecution. Bless those, Lord, who minister to this group. We pray for speedy solutions to their cases, for resettlement wherever is possible. We pray for the work of the UNHCR. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So, Father, we thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers, God, for the poor and for the needy, Lord, for those who are sick, Lord. We especially lift up those who are battling cancer, Father. Oh, so many names, God, but you know each one of these people, Lord. You know them by name. You know their personalities, God. You know what makes them smile, what they're afraid of, Lord. We pray, God, that you would speak to them, Father, that you would minister to their needs, Lord. Minister to their whole beings, Father. Heal them, God, not just from the cancer, Father, but we just pray that you speak peace to their hearts, God, that they can feel your presence, Lord, in the midst of the journey of healing, God. We ask this, Lord, for all of those who are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Lord, we pray, Father, for strength, Lord. We pray, Father, for resilience. We pray, Father, for hope, God. We pray for their communities around them, Lord, their families that are walking for them, Lord, as they as they battle this, God. It really is a battle. We pray, Father, for a support group who can understand them. We pray, Lord, that they will not feel alone in this journey. They will not feel alone in their pain and in their suffering, Father. We pray, God, that they would feel your love, Father, through family and friends. And we ask, Father, that you would bring people around them if they are isolated. God, we thank you for your promise that you set the lonely in families. And we ask this especially for those who are struggling right now. We thank you that, they do have family who care enough for them to put their names in on this list, Lord. We bless them in Jesus' name. Yeah, Father, we recognize that there are so many who we're praying for, Lord, in our community who are suffering, but they also don't know you, Lord. And so we pray, God, for these people here on this list that, as people come to pray for them, to lay hands on them, to just bless them and love them, God, I pray that they would experience you, Jesus. Father, I pray that it softens their heart to be able to see you, to be able to receive you and the gift that you offer them, the gift of salvation, of eternal life, God. We pray for those who are who love them and are praying for them, God, that they would not give up hope. Lord, sometimes with long-term and chronic illness, it can become wearisome to continue praying day in and day out. Father, we pray, we ask that you just strengthen and add faith to those, God, who are praying for their mothers, their fathers, their sisters, their brothers, their aunts and their uncles and their grandparents. God, we pray that they would have persevering faith and prayer to continue contending, Lord, for healing and for salvation. Ask this in Jesus' name. Yeah, Father, we thank you that by your wounds we're healed. That is your promise, God. That is your promise in your word. Yeah, that you were crushed, Lord. Crushed like those olives we were describing in Gethsemane. Crushed for our iniquities. Bruised for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we're healed. God, we thank you that that is the truth we can stand on as we ask, God, for healing, Lord, for all of these problems, all of these conditions, Lord, and parts of the body that, doctors have limitations with, God, but we believe that with you, all things are possible, and God, you can heal these people. We ask, God, we ask for healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Father, for the many people in our city who are still getting COVID and suffering from symptoms, Lord, we lift up especially these family members in our church, Lord, who they've been exposed to COVID and they're dealing with it now. Lord, we pray, God, for you to be with their families, Lord, especially if there are children involved, old people, vulnerable people. Lord, we pray for protection, God. We pray over their immune systems to be strong, to be able to resist the infection, to fight back, to be able to recover quickly. We ask this in Jesus' name. We lift up those who have chosen, Lord, in their careers to be frontline workers in hospitals, God. And we just lift up these people, God. We thank you for the call that you have on their lives, God, to be healers, to be those to minister to those who are sick. We pray, God, that you will strengthen them, God, that you will keep them from harm, that you would just renew their vision, Father, for what they're doing, why they're doing what they're doing, so that day in and day out they can continue serving, Lord, without becoming hardened or weary. We ask this in Jesus' name. God. Father, I thank you that you are the one who gives us the ability to create wealth. You said this in Deuteronomy, God, that you are the one, God, who gives us the skills and opens the doors for us to create wealth. It's a gift from you, Jesus, and I thank you that you have gifted each one of these people in our community with passions and with abilities, God, with a destiny and a calling, Jesus, in the marketplace. And so we pray that you would open doors that no man can shut, that you would bring the connections that are needed for them to be able to, be in that place that you have appointed for them, God, to serve you in the marketplace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Father, we remember those who are serving in the nations, Lord, those in Cambodia and North Korea, Lord, and other parts of Asia. God, you know them, Lord. You know their sacrifice of leaving home and family and being in uncomfortable and sometimes unsafe places, Father. We bless these members of our community, Father, who have chosen to work, Lord, in nations where there is persecution, where it's so difficult, Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters in nations where it's not safe, Lord, to proclaim your name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we lift up all the gatherings that will take place over Sunday, over the weekend, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we lift up the online service that's coming tomorrow, Father, the youth group and the spin and spill services, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless those who are going to be ministering, Lord, in these services. Father, for Alpha, we pray, Lord, that people who have not said yes to you yet, Lord, will just be so encouraged by the testimonies that they hear in Alpha, and they will find this a safe place to ask questions, Lord, that ultimately they'll find you as the answer. We bless those who are pregnant now, Lord. God, will you protect them, give them health, Lord, and prepare them for motherhood. We pray, Father, for the house churches that are going to be meeting. We're on break, but we just still bless these house churches in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for community, for friendship. Yeah, that there will really be that that support network for one another in Jesus' name. All right, everyone, that concludes our time. I pray that you've been blessed. Pray that you've heard from the Lord and that you move forward into your day with hope, with joy. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. Bye.